When I was in high school, a very distinctive memory of this having happened in my science class. You know how it is in a science class. You walk in that first day, and science classes are different than any other class you're going to have in high school because there are tables, not necessarily desks, because you're going to be doing experiments and all that sort of thing. And I remember I had been assigned at a particular table in my chemistry class. And it was a two-person table, and I was assigned next to this young lady. And today, in the 21st century, we would have described her as emo. I don't know if you're really familiar with that with what that means. I most certainly was not the first day that I walked in, because we didn't have a word for it back then. But here was this young lady with very, very deep black makeup around her eyes, and she was wearing all black, and she had a hood over her head, and she glared at me like I'd already offended her. I just sat my books down. I was like, I hadn't done anything yet. And she did not talk to me for the entire first period that we were together. I don't know if you know this about me. I like to talk to people. It has been brought up on occasion that I am not particularly good at recognizing strangers. I just think I know everyone. And so I was not going to put up with this. And I remember after that first day thinking to myself, what can I do? What can I do to overcome this situation? Because I don't feel like sitting here for a whole semester and just having her glare at me day after day. And I made a decision. It was a conscious decision. It was a planned decision. That I was going to pretend. I was going to pretend as though every interaction we had was a pleasant one, and that we were in fact good friends. And so the second day of class, I walked in, I set my books down, she looked up from underneath her hood, and just sort of this look of complete discontent, and I said, "Good morning, sunshine." I called her sunshine for the rest of the year. And every time we would come into class, I'd say, "Good morning, sunshine, how are you doing today?" And she would glare at me harder. And then I would proceed to have a conversation with her without her participation. "How was your weekend?" "I had a really great weekend." "Did you do anything interesting this weekend?" "Let me tell you about what I did this weekend." And every day. And if she said something grumpy to me, like, "My weekends are awful," I would say some conciliatory, like, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. You know, I hope maybe next weekend's better for you." You know, by the end of that semester, I'd broken her down. And I would come into class, say, "Good morning, sunshine. How you doing?" "Oh, yeah, I'm doing okay. How are you doing today?" "I'm doing fine. And do anything fun this weekend?" "Well, let me tell you about this book I'm reading." We had actual conversation. Let me tell you what, all the way through the rest of the high school, I would see her stomping through the hallways because she just had this unique way of like moving through a crowd of people that the crowd just sort of moved aside. You just saw the storm cloud, you know? And then she'd come down the hallway and she'd see me and she'd smile, which I did not think she could do initially. Because I saw this person that I was going to sit at a desk with and I was like, I am not going to go through the semester in this state of conflict, which I don't feel like I had any stake in. You know, I didn't do anything to make her life bad or miserable. I didn't, you know, say or anything mean to her. She just automatically didn't like everybody. I was like, nah, I'm not going to let that stand. I'm going to find a way to have an interaction with this individual that's positive. And then for the rest of high school, every time I'd see her, to this day, I don't know. I'm sure at one point I knew what her actual name was. I cannot remember it because for the next 2.5 years I called her Sunshine. And she answered to it. That was the amazing bit. You know, I waved her in the hall and say, "Hey, Sunshine, how you doing?" She'd be like, "I'm doing good, Russ. How you doing?" "I'm doing great." Well, she didn't say that. She said, "I'm doing fine, Rusty," because that's what I was stuck with back then. But I didn't get to be Russ until college. But we stayed friends through high school. Humans are supposed to be connected. Humans are supposed to be engaged with each other. Humans are supposed to be in community, not isolated. And I mentioned to you all that in the Gospel of Matthew, this one section was connected to a series of other sections, and only Matthew puts them together in this way. And the first time you read it through, you're like, why did Matthew write that in that order? That doesn't make any sense. You know, other people take Jesus' sayings and they put them together in a more orderly fashion. It just sort of seems like Matthew got to this chapter and went, huh, well, I've got these four teachings and I don't know where they go. I'm just going to slap them together and hope people figure out what I want. No, I don't think that's what he did. See, he begins with the passage in which Jesus says to the disciples, and he puts a child in their midst and says, if anybody wants to be great in the kingdom of God, they must be like this child here in your midst. And then in the next section, he says, you know, woe to anyone who leads this child astray. It's better for them to tie a millstone around their neck and jump in the ocean than to lead one of my little ones astray. And then he has this passage where he says, you know, God is like the shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one of them go missing, and he goes to search for the one until he finds it, and then he brings it back, and it's home. And then is the passage in which Jesus says, if any of you have a member of the church that sins against you, go and speak to them one-on-one, and if they don't reconcile, then go and bring two witnesses and speak to them. And if they don't reconcile, then bring it to the whole of the community. And if they don't reconcile, then may they be as a tax collector or one who is cast out. Do you know? This passage is particular to Matthew. Because remember, Matthew was a tax collector. When he talks about the little one that gets led astray, and how awful it is that they have been led astray, he's talking about himself. Matthew's saying, that was me. When he talks about the 99 sheep that have to wait while the shepherd goes and finds that lost one, he's talking about himself. He's saying, that was me. I was the lost sheep. And when he talks about this procedure in which you, if you have a conflict with someone, you're to do this series of things, if we read it out of context of who Matthew was, we misunderstand it. Because it sounds like discipline. It sounds like if there's somebody screwing up, go and tell them they're screwing up and to get in order and get in line and behave right, or else we'll punish you by making you live like a tax collector. But that's not what Matthew's saying. That's not what Matthew's meaning. All of these passages are about one thing. They're about reconciliation. They're about bringing a broken community to a state of wholeness. See, Matthew's not putting this in order because he wants people to go out and shake their finger at somebody. He's probably putting this in there because he thinks to himself, if only someone had brought me back sooner. If only someone had reached out to me to make me come home to the faith and to the family and community that I abandoned. If only I hadn't had to wait. If only I hadn't become a tax collector. If only somebody would have reached out and called me sunshine. Jesus goes on to say, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. Christianity, in fact, everything that God teaches us is about being together. Everything God teaches us is about loving and being loved. Everything is about reconciliation and forgiveness. In each and every one of our lives, we are likely to have an encounter with or a relationship with somebody much like that young lady in my science class in high school. Person that's just bound and determined to be in conflict with us. Matthew here is writing and saying, these teachings of Jesus all line up. that lost sheep is worth finding. That unreconciled person is worth reconciling with. That broken relationship is worth healing. And yeah, there's going to be people out there that just simply refuse to be healed. Let them be as a tax collector to you. But oh yes, guess what? Tax collectors aren't irredeemable, because I was one. In your life, I'm sure you can think of a person or three that might have not wanted to make connection with you. That you may have left you feeling unloved, unwelcomed, maybe downright disliked. How are we as Christians to behave in that situation? Well, we are to try. We're to make effort. We're to remember that we ourselves were the lost sheep who were brought back through the power of grace, mercy, and forgiveness that comes through Christ Jesus. And that we live in a world full of lost people, souls who are just struggling and don't know where their home is. We know where the home is. It's our duty to bring them home. Yeah. Ultimately, only the Holy Spirit can do the saving, but we sure can do the inviting. We can open the door. The Holy Spirit will help them walk through. So I say to you all as we gather together on this Sunday morning, I don't know what your sunshine experience is like. I don't know who you're facing or what sort of thing you're facing. Maybe it's a stranger. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a family member. But chances are there is someone in your life that reconciliation has not yet found its way to. And you might be saying to yourself, well, that's good, because I don't want to be reconciled to that person. They're not very nice. That's probably true, but didn't stop God from reconciling to us. And we weren't very nice to him. In fact, if memory serves me correctly, we crucified him on a cross. But it didn't stop God from loving us, forgiving us, or desiring to be a part of our lives again. So I say to you all this Sunday morning, take the words of Jesus that Matthew felt deep in his heart, words of reconciliation, words of love, words of forgiveness, words of outreach, words that say, hey, go find that missing sheep. And figure out how the Holy Spirit might be leading you to bring someone else back into your life and into the life of faith. Because where two or more are gathered together in his name, Jesus is present. Amen.